Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Enlightened Journey podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about a couple of new things. I want to share with you something that I've kept to myself probably since the last two episodes. When I began this podcast, I started sharing about awareness, about consciousness, about being connected, and about what I call a vaster perspective, a grander truth. But for the past maybe a month, there has been a shift within me. I have understood even further and deeper the meaning, the concept, the energies within the fabric of existence, of time, space, life, reality, etc. And I've also understood that there's a certain point where you get generalized knowledge. For example, religion is very good for this. At the very beginning, if a person comes to a certain age and then they start, you know, going to a particular church, they get educated about certain spirituality, about a certain relationship with God. Later on, as it happened with me, you feel that is not enough, that there can be more to that relationship. So you go out and you maybe read some books, or like in my case, go out traveling the world on very special circumstances, and you find more. And you actually learn this new language of communication with life and consciousness, and you become awakened. This is through your awareness and through your consciousness as well. And eventually, I guess, you become enlightened. Thus the name of this podcast. But once you take on that journey continues. And it is my suspicion that it never ends. As a matter of fact, it is. I'm pretty sure that that's basically the reason that we come to life. My sole purpose now has become just understanding this journey and expanding in it, because I truly believe that is what we come to life for, that is our mission, beyond anything else. I mean, biologists would love to say that our mission is to reproduce. You know, we come, we're born, we grow, we reproduce, and then we die. Yeah, that's a very simplistic way of avoiding the whole vast picture of existence and humanity and the reason for it. Not just humanity, but creation itself. So, once you can see beyond, you know, your good grades in school, or the super job, or the new car, or the white picket fence house, or your 401k for retirement, or even your kids, or college for your kids, once you can see beyond that, way, way beyond that, you understand that you're here to expand yourself, to develop yourself. And once you start seeing the world that way, then you start realizing that many of us that are younger, many of us that are much older than us, are in completely different positions in their own journey. I don't really think, actually, that this is a journey that can be completed in a couple of lifetimes. From what I've seen in people, religions love to say that those are the people that are going to go to hell. I think that those are the people that actually, you know, do their little part throughout their life, and then maybe decide to come back and continue expanding or developing. From my perspective, I'm very, very comfortable where I am at. And this is what leads me back to where I began, that about a month ago, I understood things specifically for me, for my particular path, for my life path, my life, the existence, my soul existence. And I haven't been sharing that with you. And the reason that I don't share that with you is because once it gets so specific, the certain knowledge, the certain understandings that I have don't apply to everybody. These are just things that you must reach to by yourself. You must arrive on your own. This is a path that at this point, it's I'm not going to say it's bliss, because I do have a lot of frustrations, ups, downs, and twisting arounds, and going sideways, and being completely lost and veiled many times. You know, one second you can see the light and you understand everything, and then a couple of hours later, your logical mind missed a couple of tidbits, and you don't understand anything anymore. And then eventually you start forgetting what you understood to begin with. So I'm not going to say that this is bliss. It's frustrating, but you're on a path. It's a challenge, and it's purpose. You are on a path with purpose, at least in your spiritual development, in your, you know, once you get really in depth in your spiritual development, then life, what we as humans call life, the social aspect, the interaction, the working, the educational, civic aspect of life, becomes so alien to you. You know, things just don't make sense. They're not clear. They're not practical. Everything is, and then also you start seeing things and perceiving things through energy, and the energy within this social and civic life that we have at this point in history, it's just pathetic, to be honest. That I don't have a better word for it. Maybe for some people, in their truth, in their journey, it is not. But for me, it is, and that's a big part of the reason that I'm not going to go in depth sharing, you know, the position that I find myself now. Spiritually, the interactions that I'm having, the ideas that I'm contemplating. So I just wanted to share that with you. I still will be contributing in the podcast, but things that I am directed, or that I instinctively know that, you know, apply to all of us. With that, let me jump into a little subject that I forgot to talk about last week. Last week I gave you a little update on more or less what I had been doing with things that I had been talking about before, and I completely forgot to talk to you about my nutrition. Now, I think the last time I spoke about nutrition and how I was eating, I could only stomach, and actually I could only eat things without being disgusted that were 100% raw. Now, I think I also mentioned that if it was an occasion like my dad was cooking, or my mom, or somebody that loved me, yes, I could eat that as well. Well, things have kind of evolved a little bit, and now for me, the best things to eat right now are things that carry life force, things that are alive, things that when I look at them, they're vibrating. Now, I know that most of you don't see the world the way I do. So you probably do not perceive the vibration of, like, you know, an apple or a seed or you know, a salad or whatever. And then the lack of vibration in something like a cookie or a, you know, maybe even milk, which happened to me the other day. I bought a gallon of milk, and it carried a little bit of life force, but it also had a very, I don't want to say negative vibration, because it wasn't. It was a lacking vibration. If you can understand that, it's the best way I can put it. It had a vibration, but it was an anti-life vibration that was overwhelming the little life vibration that it had within it. So I tossed the whole thing out. But now, I can consume things that have life force, and then I can also consume things that have good energy vibration. So many times I'll be eating something that is not particularly raw, it's not particularly 100% natural, but it has a very positive vibration. And now that I'm talking to you, I imagine that it has to do with the way my body my health in my body is vibrating. And then if that food has certain elements or minerals or nutrients that my body needs, then it has a certain vibration, and I can feel the how compatible it is, and I go ahead and, you know, I can eat that. It's kind of like my body is like, oh yes, you know, I could use a little bit of this element. So it's actually tuning in to the elements within the food, not particularly just the life force, but also the minerals, the elements, you know, the material elements. So I thought it was important I share that with you, because one thing I see with people that sometimes are vegans or are vegetarians or are fruitarians or whatever it is that once you decide to judge something, to define something, to name something, then automatically your ego kicks in. Now, I've talked about this in previous episodes, that your ego is it's a survival and self-defense mechanism, very primitive self-defense mechanism within you. And so once you say, okay, it's really good, and I have decided to become, per se, a fruitarian, I'm only going to eat fruits, then you start saying things like, okay, that food is bad. Oh, that is very bad. Oh, he's, you know, how can he be alive if he's eating all that? You start, see what I'm saying? You start, there's this inner voice that starts talking, and you don't recognize it, and you get lured by it, and eventually, you start following that, your ego, and it disorients you. There's a point where you start becoming, now you want to become the best fruitarian you can be. And so you start going to extremes, you know? You see these guys in YouTube, and they're eating, you know, only vegetables or only fruits, and you know, they're ordering their salt from the other side of the world. They're, you know, preparing their food, you know, for 36 hours to eat a cookie. You know, they're buying a certain type of fruit that they have to, you know, pay, you know, 30 times more money, and the fruit has to be brought in, I don't know, by a guy in a burrow or something, you know? I mean, it's just, the ego is on overdrive there. They're going to extremes. And the reason why I shared how I'm eating now is because I did find that little voice telling me, oh yes, do this, oh yes, do that. And then what happens is that you start spending more money, more energy, it overtakes you, and eventually it overwhelms you, and after that you become completely disoriented, or after that you become an quote-unquote an expert, and now you start selling your books and you start becoming, you know, an authority, and you're back to square one. You see, now it's no longer politicians, it's no longer people that are corporations. Now it's the fruitarians, it's the vegans that are actually, you know, the people that should tell you how you live. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that all the wisdom that you need for perfect nutrition, for whatever you need in this particular time, moment in time and space, in your life right now. And that doesn't mean to be 100% healthy. It just means to be better than you were a week ago. Okay? All you need is within you already. And I'll get to that in a second, how ego communicates versus how your soul communicates. But back to nutrition, I wanted to elaborate on the fact that life is a flowing concept. And so should be your habits, so should be your patterns, so should be your lifestyle. So at one point, I guess I know for a fact that my body said, okay, listen, Flavio, give me everything raw and a lot of greens and a lot of things that this color and that feel this way in your mouth and in your stomach. And the reason was probably that I was detoxing, or that in that particular moment I needed that life force. I needed those elements. Or maybe there was something going on within me that I wasn't aware of and that got taken care of automatically by my higher wisdom, my higher knowledge, my higher self. See? Now, my body's telling me, listen, you know what? Raw food, 100% natural, organic, is wonderful. But listen, you know what? I need a little bit of this too. And try this. And as a matter of fact, about a week ago, I had a little indigestion problem. It was my birthday, and I went out to have dinner with my family, and oh, thank you. Oh yes, I take your happy birthdays from all of you guys. Thank you. But back to the subject, I ate and I indulged in this brie cheese. I love cheese. Used to, I guess, actually, because I ate it and I wasn't really liking it, but you know, I used to love it, so I still kind of like, I was lying to myself. I was like, okay, this is delicious. It wasn't really that good. It was maybe 30% of what it used to be to me, and I indulged. And the next day, I literally woke up with a hangover. This is incredible. I had a headache. I felt nasty. It was a hangover. And so it took about a week for my system to cleanse itself completely. And, you know, I had, you know, bloating issues and stuff. It's like I heard this vegan lady say, it's kind of like feeding a baby, you know, giving it a baby something like that. You know, your system is almost brand new, regenerated and completely clean and pure, and you're smudging it with certain stuff, and it's just not used to it, and it's gonna let you know. And your soul's not gonna let you know at that point. Your actual physical system is gonna let you know. And mine did, and it you know, it kicked my butt, and I got the lesson. And now I'm feeling much better again. I'm feeling almost normal. And yes, my body is asking me for certain things. You know, while I was recovering, it was asking me for things like salt and spices and stuff. You know? And sometimes we misunderstand those signals as wanting to eat, you know, more cheese or nachos or pasta or processed food. But actually, you have to really listen what it is that your body is telling you, and you'll understand that it's actually asking for just a certain part of the foods that we eat that sometimes we consider processed and unhealthy. Okay, now getting to the next point, which is communication. You know, 2 days ago I was driving, and as it happens very often, I'm still on that diet, by the way, of not listening to media. I only listen to the radio or watch TV if it's something that I'm going to watch that is entertaining. But I avoid commercials, I avoid news, I avoid commentary. Commentary is definitely. I avoid anything that has what I am about to talk to you. There is, from this perspective, from a spiritual perspective, there's two types of communication. There's soul communication, and then there's ego communication. Now, let me tell you about the ego communication one, because it's the one that we have all over the place and the most prevalent one. When the ego talks, it raises its voice. It changes the volume in its voice. It changes the tone in its voice. It changes the sense of urgency in its voice. When the ego talks, it talks because it wants something. It wants to convey something. It wants to sell you something. It wants to manipulate you into something. It wants to convince you into something. Even if it's giving you, if the person, I'm talking about people, by the way, even if the person that is talking to you is giving you great advice, that person wants you to listen, wants to send a message across. There's the ego is involved. The ego expresses itself with body language, with gestures, with judgment, with emotion. The ego is loud, is pushy, and it's like a car salesman, actually, I think the car salesman learned their trick, so it's kind of like one of those Amway salespeople. Anyway, if you really want to see the purest example of ego, listen to somebody like Rush Limbaugh or any of his little cohorts. The little people that try to be like him at different hours. Anybody on the news, those people are pure ego talking. They're pushing, they're debating, they want to get the point across, they don't listen to what the other person is saying. It's a very aggressive exchange. And the reason that this works is because it's based on that. And it's almost entertaining, it's lulling to people that are not aware of what's really going on. Even on NPR, which I really liked NPR, and now I'm finding that I can't really hear for that long. If they talk too fast, if they want to push all this information in your brain in a matter of 5 seconds, if they're like blah, 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 if they're talking like that, if they're like blah 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 blah, it's like it really is like a violation of your inner balance. You see, human beings by nature alone, you toss a human being on nature, and they balance themselves automatically. Now give that person a squawk box, a radio, turn it on to one of these clowns talking, and it's going to debalance you. They're talking fast, they're pushing, they're supposedly, these people are experts. And I was just talking about experts, you remember, in the food industry, in the nutrition industry? Same thing. Whoever is interviewed is supposedly an expert or somebody that has to sell something, a book, an idea, a charity, whatever. But it's an authority figure, and undeniably there's going to be ego involved. And if there's ego involved, there's going to be a certain element of violation of your inner balance, because that's the way ego communicates. Now, let me tell you how the soul communicates, how higher wisdom communicates. Doesn't necessarily whisper, but it feels like a whisper. It's soothing. It's calm. It's never in a rush, because higher wisdom understands that time is an illusion. We have all the time in the universe to understand what we need to understand. So when wisdom talks, it talks with compassion. It talks with understanding. It talks with patience. It talks with love. It doesn't even matter if it's a complete stranger in the street. If it's a calm person, through his or her body language, her tone, or the words that they choose, or the way they introduce themselves, so they start the sentence, it's going to be soothing. It's not going to violate your inner balance. And as a matter of fact, if you are in a state of hyper alert, which is most of us in this society right now, it's going to be a welcoming, soothing element when a person like that talks to you. If you're in super ultra hyper, almost a chaotic alert, you're completely going to miss it, and you're going to ignore the person. It's not going to make any difference anyway if they talk to you, because you probably won't even remember. But as I was saying, as I was driving in my car, and as it happens many times, boom, this idea popped in my head. And I was having an inner conversation. And I was just defining the types of communication, and I was actually thinking, you know, I'm gonna mention this in the podcast to my friends. And I fished around for my digital recorder, and I happened to speak a few, you know, notes, and continued my day, you know, put some music on, and forgot about it, and did a couple of errands, and a couple of hours passed. And when I was done with all the things that I had to do, on my way back home, I was passing through this industrial neighborhood, and I saw Home Depot, and I said, oh man, you know, I needed to buy something. I don't remember what it was. Got off of the expressway and went to the Home Depot, but actually it was like sort of like a plaza where the Home Depot was, and all the other stores were like, you know, industrial stuff, like warehouses, tile stores, you know, rug, carpet, things that, you know, were closed by that time. It was Saturday, by the way. And here in South Florida, it was really, really gray, and it seemed like it was going to rain really rough. So what I did is everybody was parking by the, you know, by the edge of the plaza so that they could run into the awning and then just walk and not get wet. I happened to park my car very, very far. And by the time I got out of Home Depot, my car was the only one left on the opposite side of the plaza, and everything was closed. So, you know, didn't give a second thought about it, and I walked towards my car. And when I'm maybe 7 steps away from my car, somebody starts screaming at me from behind me. He's like, "Hey, sir, turn around, sir, please turn around." And instantly, you know, like a sore, I was gonna say a sore throat, but it's actually just pushed a sore button within me. Everything that I have been talking about, how ego communicates versus soul, and it was heightened because of, you know, this inner dialogue that I had in my head. So I was like, man, you know, I thank the heavens. I just happened to get this example of how the ego talks. And so if the ego is talking to you, you know that whatever that person wanted was for their benefit, not yours. So I kept walking, and he kept screaming and running towards me. And I you know, I was going to turn around, but I figured I'm going to finish what I need to do first. So I actually opened my car, opened the door, and then turned around. I'm not really sure why I did this, but in a second I'll tell you why this happened. Now, knowing me, you know that the next few points that I'm going to be sharing with you have other elements involved. But this is what happened. I'm just going to paint a picture for you. My car was parked next to a bush. So when I opened the door, it was the car, then the open door, then the bush. So I was actually sort of it was giving me a distance between this guy. Now when I saw the guy, it's like a gentleman, maybe in his early 50s, very, very well dressed. You know, he got gold chain, gold watch, very well combed, red shirt. He kind of, afterwards, I noticed that he really didn't fit the picture. It didn't fit the place. What was this guy doing there, dressed like that? And then the second thing that kind of threw me off was that he could have talked to me from a safe distance, but he approached me. He kept approaching me as he talked. And he was asking me something. He kept saying, you know where, and then he's like, oh, do you speak Spanish? And I said, yes. Oh, very good, then we're very good, we're friends. And I was like, and then the second that he's saying this, remember I told you it was a cloudy day? Well, the sun came out from behind him, and it made me wrinkle my face. It made me, you know, kind of like close my eyes. And when he asked me a question, if I knew where a certain store was, my voice left me. So it came out very, very low. So I was talking like this. And plus, my face was all, you know, wrinkled, pissed. I looked pissed, pretty much. And so the guy kind of stopped. And then also, because I had my car's door between him and me, I kind of leaned on my door, and my hands were inside on the other side of the windowsill, and he kept looking at my hands, and I didn't know why. And at the second that this is all happening, this is all a matter of, you know what, maybe 4 or 5 seconds, right behind me, a very old beat up pickup truck stops, and a guy behind me starts saying, "Hey, hey, hey," and I turn around real quickly, but I turn back to the older guy, because the guy that's saying "Hey, hey, hey," it's another guy, another, you know, how can I say this politically correct? Well, it's another nasty example of ego expression. And when I turn around, the guy's like showing me this really thick gold chain, and going like this, like if I want it. And I turn around, I look at him, and I raise my hand and say like no. And then when I look back at the older guy, and you know, the well dressed guy, he's looking at the guy in the car and shaking his head no. Like saying no, not, you know, not this one. It's kind of hard for me to explain it on just on audio, but he's kind of like looking at the guy and saying no, you know, giving him a signal basically. And so the guy kind of speeds away, and I'm still kind of like, you know, my subconscious mind by now has it all registered, and there's something within me feeling very, very uncomfortable. But my consciously, I still haven't gotten into an aggressive mode, which I don't know if it would have happened. But I turned back to the guy, almost figuring things out, and the guy was like two steps ahead of me, and he's like, okay, thank you very much. And I you know, I jumped in my car, closed the door, locked the door, and that's when it all started hitting on me that I almost got jumped. And when I looked for the guy, I swear, the guy disappeared. I don't know where the hell he was, or the truck, or the guy in red. He who had a red shirt, by the way, which also didn't fit the picture, because it's a completely, a very industrial place. So as I got back in the highway and I'm replaying the whole scene in my mind, you know, I realized that there's so many things that were off. He's screaming to ask me for directions in a place where there's nobody around. He's running. You know, he wants to go to this place. He doesn't have a car. He gets too close to me. Ideally, the perfect thing would have been for me to turn around before I reached my car and I opened the door. But now he has a door in between us, so it's a little more difficult for him to approach me or talk or do whatever he had planned. And then this, out of the blues, this other guy comes back from behind me and is trying to kind of lure me into looking in a different direction. There's just a whole bunch of things that were completely off in that scene, you know? And as I'm thinking this, I'm thinking, wow, you know, and isn't it amazing and magic that the main component that kept me from turning around and kept me from paying attention to the guy behind me was that little inner chat, which is more than an inner chat. Remember on the last episode I spoke about us in constant convergence with other pieces of consciousness, and we attract them and they come freely and they interact and co-create with us in every second of our existence. And so if that little inner conversation wouldn't have happened, things would have turned out very different, because I would have turned around. I would have turned around and maybe I would have been distracted by the guy that pulled up in the pickup from behind. And things would have turned out very differently. But that little thing, and then also the sun coming out in the exact moment where I'm looking at this guy, and my voice leaving me, kind of portraying a completely different picture to this guy's perspective, you know? Not saying that I'm going to be all lovey-dovey with a guy. I may have reacted really wrong, but maybe the guy himself was being protected. You know, maybe all of us were being protected so that we didn't have a confrontation. I don't know if I would have gotten physical, but it you know, and as a spiritual person, I can tell you this. I am advanced enough to know that many times, you know, I think, look, you know what, if somebody asks me for money or tries to steal from me, maybe they need it more than me, and maybe it's the way of destiny that I no longer need this object that they want, and that, you know, they need it more than I do, and I should let it go because something better is coming. That's a rationale I think of many times. But also, many times, my mind is somewhere else, and if somebody approaches me the wrong way, I can react very, very differently, and even violently. And it all depends on, like I said earlier, the convergence of consciousness says that you have around you, and on which color your vibration is, how you're vibrating, you know? So I realized that when you are enlightened, when you are in a state of constant balance and harmony with yourself, with your environment, you're going to be constantly protected. Now, last episode I spoke about a certain communication that I had with a certain group of consciousness that I call the impatient ones. And many times they've told me that it's not what they say that you should pay attention to. It's what it creates within you that you should pay attention to. So if they say something like, look, you know, tomorrow, be careful. Tomorrow, pay attention to everything that is red. It's not that you're going to get a gift that is red. It's maybe that you're not supposed to look at something in particular, it's another color, or that, you know, something with that color will make you think and feel a certain way, so that you actually end up doing something completely different, you know, a day or 2 days later. That's the way the universe works. That's the perfection and the complexity of the universe, which is so, it has so many variables, that's why I say, if you try to figure it out consciously with your logic mind, you know, you become lost in your own little world of logic. Now I want to get back to ego for a second, and just leave you with this little thought. I don't feel complete in this whole idea. I think I'm gonna need to finish it off sometime later, but I want you to think about this. See what I was saying about ego and how it communicates? Why? Because loving communication is usually quiet. It's a whispering communication. So if you're an innocent person and you have two people talking in front of you, and one is motivated by ego and the other one is motivated by, you know, their soul, wisdom, love, ego is probably gonna beat ego communication is probably gonna beat the other one, because he's in your face, he's talking louder, he's being more aggressive, he's being more dominant, apparently, in the communication. And this is completely normal, because being balanced is a personal responsibility. So, you know, in a perfect world, the people with ego, which in my opinion this is what's going to be happening, are going to be screaming and talking like what is happening to me already. You know, I don't watch the television. If somebody screams at me, I don't pay attention to them, because it's ego. You learn to recognize that there's an ego drive, and an ego is based on a selfish motivation. And when you're motivated selfishly, eventually that pathway will corrupt you. It has to. It's inevitable. And if you want proof of that, look our leadership, politicians, you know, even people, even academics. You know, you are an authority in an Ivy League school on any particular science, and this new young scientist from a not so good university, from a smaller country, comes up with a theory that is true, but kind of beats your theory a little bit. Your ego's gonna kick in. You're not going to accept it. You're gonna be skeptic, and you're gonna fight to the death defending your theory. Why? Because there's an ego involved. So this is the idea I want to leave you with today. The first thing you do is just listen to everybody around your world. Listen to the tone. Listen if they're talking out of the ego. If they are, there's really no point in paying attention to them, because it's not going to be pure knowledge, pure information. You can't trust it, because it's tainted with other subversive energies. At the beginning, just avoid it, you know? But eventually, what will happen is you will become righteous. You will understand that this is wrong. And when you do that, there will be a point when enough of us are all in that same vibration, we'll have to speak up and direct ourselves, our world, our humanity, in the proper direction. This is part of what the Grand 2012 thing is, and the consciousness that we're talking about is. You see? People with big ego are losing steam, so they're doing more dramatical things. They're screaming louder. They're doing more radical things. They're insulting themselves. They're doing more, you know, atrocious things so that they can maintain that power. And people like us, we're starting to figure out that, you know, listening to these people is a complete waste of time. Because although they might try to say the proper thing, it is tainted by other energies. So at the beginning, the first thing that we need to do is just ignore them. Just maybe do like I did with that guy on the parking lot. Okay, I did pay attention to him, but after I did what I needed to do, he did not deviate me from my sole goal. But afterwards, after there's enough of us ignoring all these squawking heads, all these lost little souls, after there's enough of us, we're going to have to take control of the situation. We're going to have to be righteous. We're going to have to be compassionate and humble, but also not allow, you know, that ego behavior to overtake us, to overtake a higher wisdom, a higher knowledge, and a better, more human, well, I don't want to say human because it brings a more enlightening way of being human to each other. And that's an idea that I'll probably work on and share with you in some other opportunity. But I just wanted to talk to you about that because I have this sense that once you start changing, once you start, you awaken and you become more aware, and you understand that, you know, maybe the people that are telling you the news, maybe the scientists that are telling you about things that are happening in the world, maybe, you know, the books that you're reading, maybe the people that wrote history, maybe everything around you, all the quote-unquote facts are tainted with ego. And so we have to be able to discern that and practice not allowing that information or even that interruption or that violation to disrupt our inner balance. And once enough of us are in that balanced state, for all of us to actually become a working force, a pushing force towards a better direction. And eventually, what will happen is many of us will start behaving this way, and then the squawking heads, you know, the ego talkers, will eventually give up and will actually awaken as well. See what I'm saying? They're not going to continue like that all the time, because once they figure out that they can suck energy out of people, that this behavior doesn't work, the ego starts diminishing because it's a survival mechanism. So it's not helping them to survive. Anyway, guys, wanted to leave it at that. As always, sending you light, love, wisdom, knowledge, compassion. Take care. Bye-bye.